Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello and welcome back to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott, joined by Rob Blanchett. As ever, we are in the lead up to United versus Liverpool, part one. They play each other twice in about 3 weeks, First part in the FA Cup at Old Trafford at the weekend. We will look ahead to that match today, but we'll also talk about some topical stuff over the course of the week in Manchester United land. Rob, how's it going?
Not bad. Always looking forward to a Northwest derby, aren't we, Scott? Like, it's always one of the most exciting fixtures in the calendar. But here we are in the FA Cup with a knockout game. So it's going to be, I think, an interesting match between these two old rivals.
I was asked yesterday, is this a dying rivalry?
Well, do you know what I've seen, Scott? It's a lot of, this may be a personal thing, yeah? I'm a United fan. It's a lot of, oh, the great rivalry of Liverpool and Man City. Oh, the great rivalry. I know a million Scousers and I know a million Man City fans. They wouldn't even mention those clubs if you spoke to them about it. Not really, on the ground. Like, you know, I don't know any of my Liverpool friends, and I've got quite a few, that really care about Man City. Yes, they've had title fights, but they don't feel anything about it. So is it a rivalry? No, they're just maybe the two best teams at that time. But it's a little bit odd, isn't it? I think that's been sold through the media.
Yeah, it's odd.
Klopp,
yeah,
I found it Klopp quite good. And Pep, the two greatest managers of all time. Like, this is the rivalry of our times. It's a bit like, I don't even think they care about each other. Really, really don't. So an odd one. I think Liverpool, Manchester United, whatever they're doing, is always going to be the rivalry in English football.
We'll talk about it later in the show. We'll also talk about, on today's episode, how Rob has said stuff on Twitter that the new generation didn't like, or maybe Man City fans didn't like. We'll get
the
into
new
that.
Generation.
Maybe at the start of the show.
The kids or something like that. I don't know. Yeah.
Sorry, if you're a kid, sorry.
Exactly.
if you're listening to this, sorry. But I think that's just... we'll get into that maybe at the start. But we'll talk about Jarrod Branthwaite as well. He's just been called up by England and has had a good season for Everton, but does seem to be one of the main names on Man United's shopping list. 75 million. Interesting. So we'll talk about him maybe throughout the show, transition into the Liverpool game as well. And you can join us on YouTube, Apple and Spotify, the Promised Land of Manchester United podcast. Please subscribe on all of those platforms, whether that's video or audio. Like, subscribe, leave a comment, hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. Give us a 5-star review, because amazing. And it would really help us, actually, if you told your mates about it. If they're United fans, that is. If they're not, then you can still try. I don't know whether they would bother. But, you know, hey, I think we do a pretty good job of doing the non-sensationalist stuff, even though maybe what we'll talk about first gets into that territory for some people. Not for me, but hey, follow us on social media at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B on X and YouTube, and at @TPLMUFC on X as well. Right, what did you do this week, Rob?
I don't know. Like, you even said this to me on message, didn't you? You were like, oh, we've spoken about your tweet and stuff, and I was a little bit nonplussed. But yeah, I kind of know what I've done. I've upset Ronaldo fans on one hand about, on our last show, I said, you know, is Garnacho our player of the year? I think it's a valid question. And I think he's in the mix with them. So I was kind of saying, just off the cuff, didn't mean to do anything, Scott. Didn't mean to upset anyone. that I think Garnacho at 19 is more developed than Ronaldo was at 19. And you make that comparison because of the positions. Yeah, because it's a wide player, a wide forward. And what I mean by that, obviously, was that is that I think Garnacho is actually carrying more responsibility and being more mature in his football now than Cristiano was at 19. That's all I was saying. That's it. And my God, it kicked off on Twitter. Just, and it's all the Ronaldo stands. It's all those who've got pictures of Cristiano as their avatars. And it must go around forums or something, Scott. That's the only way I can think about it. And the algorithm just pumps it out to those accounts to see it. And I wasn't going to say anything that bad, but yeah, 500,000 people interacted with it in the end or something like that. And it was quite interesting. And my timeline and my replies have been full of it for the last few days. But it's also Man City fans not happy with my opinion about sports washing and things like that. So an interesting week on Twitter.
What about sports washing?
Yeah, like again, it's all actually, this is an interesting side of it, again, about fan debates, about Old Trafford. So the narrative about Old Trafford is that United want the government to pay for it. Yeah, United want the government to pay for all of Old Trafford.
Pay for the stadium. That's what they want. Yeah, exactly, yeah, the stadium.
they want them to. They want the government to build the stadium, and they want to do it with taxpayers' money. And it's from a guy who lives in Monaco who doesn't pay tax and has never paid tax here in his life. Okay,
he has.
So there's a lot of things to pick through with that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. First thing is that Jim Ratcliffe spent his taxes here for 65 years. That's not important. What you see here, Scott, is kind of reality here meeting fantasy again. Is that Man United don't want the government to pay for the stadium. Like, they want them to pay for the infrastructure around it, like roads and, stuff that you pay for public services, things that Mancunians deserve. And ironically, it's Mancunians saying we shouldn't do it, but it's because they're blue. So I think that's interesting, because that is a social thing, isn't it? That again, another thing that's not mentioned is that Man City bought all the land around their stadium at a reduced rate from the council, which is still being to this day investigated years later, because it was not right. Shouldn't have been done like that, council property. But people say Brownfield land that wasn't used and all of this. But they also, Manchester City Council, put money into the local infrastructure around their stadium and built stuff. And that's right also, isn't it? I don't care, because I'm a Man United fan, about that. That's the way it should be for Mancunian. So there was a lot of that. A lot of people, again, with blue things in their avatars going, you're this, Rob. You're aboard that. You're this, that, or the other. You talk this. You're red. You're boring. Sorry. If you were tweeting me about that from the blue angle, it's boring. I'm not going to get involved. I'm just never going to do it. If you want to shout at me, please do it as part of my job. That's okay. But yes, those two things, two wider spectrums of Twitter, Scott, like Ronaldo and Man City, and I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't know. I was just trying to do my job.
If you want to engage in Rob's Rob's tweets, @_Rob_B, as you
said. Scott's got wilder opinions than me. Go for Scott. Like
I haven't.
I'm Mr. Moderate. Scott's actually.
Although I've had a week off social this week, really, because I just can't be bothered with it at times. But I did do a video the other day, and I said, I don't think the fact that Liverpool didn't get that penalty against City was the most clear wrong decision in the world. And that I think if the penalty had been given in that moment, I don't think it would have been overturned. But because it wasn't given in that moment, I think it was the right decision not to be overturned. I don't think it was like Mane kicking Edison in the chest. Like, not that clear. Like, and people have made that comparison. I got killed.
I actually thought it was a penalty, but you're right. I don't think VAR can overturn something like that once the referee says it's not a penalty. It's really difficult, and that's that's where you lose it with VAR, isn't it? Like, do you remember a few weeks ago where Bruno got held by his throat? Yeah, that's really
where VAR
has to come in and go, well, that's really clear and obvious, and that's an act of aggression. And yeah, it wasn't a proper throttle. He wasn't trying to kill him. But, we saw Casemiro get sent off for something less, didn't we, only a year ago. So I think that's one of the things. But, you're going to get, Scott, if you say something like that about subjectivity, oh, my God, you're going to get a lot of people upset. But, yeah, Scott's definitely wilder than me. So go after Scott. He's up for the fight. I'm a little bit like, okay. No, yeah. I'm mis-selling Scott. Sorry, it's a joke. It's a joke. Scott's not like that at all. He really isn't. We're more similar on a lot of that stuff, aren't we?
Yes, indeed. We have just... All right, we're past embargo. I've just had a mail through from England. Kobbie Mainoo has made the under-21 squad, not the senior England squad. So okay. He's the, by my looks, the only Manchester United player. Yes, the only Manchester United player to feature in the England under-21 squad. There is the likes of Rico Lewis. Tedden Mengi is in there, formerly of Manchester United.
Supposedly not good enough for Man United.
He's playing for Luton now. But you got Harvey Elliott in there. Archie Gray from Leeds. But maybe, Rob, since this has just happened, we knew that Kobbie was not going to be in the senior England squad yesterday. The word was that he'd be brought up to under-21 level. Gareth Southgate spoke about him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not the most controversial thing Gareth Southgate has said this week in relation to Ben White as well, which is a whole other mess. Oh. But that's for a different club podcast, I would say. But your thoughts on Kobbie getting in the under-21 squad? Do you think he should be fast-tracked to England? Do you feel as though this is the right step? Do you think he still could be fast-tracked to England for the Euros?
I don't think he should be fast-tracked in any way, shape or form. I don't think they need to do that. I do think that it's quite interesting. This is a wider topic about England now, a little bit about how they have kind of pushed the West Ham stroke Man City guy to one side who hasn't been playing any football and he's not actually playing that well at the moment. And they've kind of gone, right, we're not doing that. We're going to do this instead. I don't want to see Kobbie rushed into the England squad. I think he's going to give 10 years worth of service to England and he's going to be brilliant and he's going to give more than that to Man United. Do you need to now push him forward? Not really. No, just look after him. And I would rather he wasn't in the under-21s, to be honest. But when you're 18 and you're playing really well and your first choice at a club like Manchester United, guess what? You're going to get picked for the under-21s, aren't you? Just what it is. So
let me frame the question differently. Do England need him?
I think
they do. I'm happy he's not in it because I feel like he would get burned out. But I feel like the type of player that he is, I don't really think England have too many of those in that position.
Well, Gareth Southgate talked around a number of subjects yesterday in the presser. And one of the things he talked about was Jude Bellingham playing as a six for him and playing deeper. And it's quite funny, isn't it, when Jude Bellingham is like literally the top scorer in La Liga and playing a false nine role better than anyone has ever played it in Spain. and he's going, oh, well, I'm going to have to get him to do more defensive things. Well, guess what? If you had someone like Kobbie in your squad, you might be able to play Jude higher up the pitch. But I actually still think, Scott, they can still do that. I don't know why he's talking about it in those terms. Do England need Kobbie Mainoo right now? I don't think so. I think in terms of the development of the squad, it might well get to the end of the season and Kobbie might feature in his very first squad in that Euros. It wouldn't surprise me. There's always one, isn't there? Do you remember the Theo Walcott squad years ago? Yeah, where Theo Walcott appears in the World Cup squad and everyone was literally like, who is Theo Walcott? You know what I mean? But he didn't obviously play for England then, but it was the start of his development. I think with Kobbie could be a fantastic midfielder for England, but there's no rush. He's played so much football in the last few weeks, Scott. I want to see him play a little bit less. I don't even really want him to play for the under-21s because he could get injured, you know, like, I'm not bothered about the under-21s. I don't know if you are. I know you're not English. But
I'm not English,
I
don't care.
Exactly. You don't really care. So I would have rather that Kobbie had spent some time with Eric for the next week or so, two on the training ground. But you get called up. That's just the way it goes, isn't it? So I don't think England needs to rush anything with him as it stands. And I don't think they feel that either. But there will be a transition. There's no doubt you've got to bring him into your squad at some point.
Subscribe. We're in 10 minutes. Oh, 15 minutes in, 30 minutes in. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch us on YouTube. But I'll still plug this anyway, even though we've only just started. Subscribe and watch us on YouTube, the Promised Land of Man United podcast. Like, subscribe, leave a comment, notification bell as well. We will talk, though, about a player who has been called up to the England team that does not belong to Manchester United. There are a couple of players. You got Harry Maguire in there, Marcus Rashford in there. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, is there anyone else? Maguire.
Not really.
No, I don't think so. However, one player who has received a call-up to the England squad is the player that we will spend probably a fair chunk of the show on. Jarrod Branthwaite of Everton, formerly of Carlisle United. I knew about this because I've worked with a Carlisle fan called Chris for several years, and he got a lot of things wrong, but to be fair, he didn't get this one wrong. He's been a big Branthwaite stan from the days that he was breaking through into that team and said he was destined for big things. And he moved to Everton. He's become first choice, and he has now played well enough this season to receive an England call-up. Left-footed centre-half. Mm. They don't make many of those, do they, in England? And yeah, United have a bit of a struggle with them as well. Their left-footed centre-half has been injured all season. And obviously, Branthwaite now has been called into the England senior team. He's probably going to get a lot of attention. Yeah. If he plays, he'll get a lot of attention. He might do some media. You'd think this probably added 10 million quid to his asking price. And my door is at, my bell is ringing, Rob. So I'm going to leave and I will let you talk.
Go and answer your door. So Jared Branthwaite, so we spoke about him in the summer, just again, in one of our shows where we kind of did kind of what could United do in the future? Where should they look towards, which type of player? And I was a bit cold on Jared Branthwaite at the time. And that was simply because even though he had a good loan period at PSV, he was still pretty unproven in the Premier League. Yes, lots of good things were being spoken about him in terms of the style of play that he is and the type of defender. And I said at the time that I thought in the summer that if you were going to be looking at youth or younger players, that someone like Branthwaite would probably come in the following season at around 80 million. That's what I was saying at the time. So I don't know, Scott, have you heard any of that? Have you answered your door? Did you hear that first bit?
I heard a little bit. I heard a little bit of it.
Good, good, good. And I think it's opinions that you actually know, but I don't know if our audience does. So I in the last summer, it was certainly a player I wasn't thinking about too much, simply because, as you said there, left-sided centre-back. And guess what? We've got one, haven't we? You know, we've got one called Lisandro Martinez, an insanely popular left-sided centre-back. But what we've seen this year, isn't it, we go through the body of work for the season, is that Man United could really have done with a profile player like Jared Branthwaite. So now you have to decide about what you do with your mix, about how do you make this work. Is this a player you want to go for? And I do think, Scott, again, that when you look at all of his faculties, he's the kind of signing that Ineos will want to look at, you know, in terms of that £75 million bracket. Would not surprise me if he comes in at higher than that now, really wouldn't, because I think his stock is growing so quickly and so rapidly in that direction going up. But wouldn't it be interesting, Scott, to see him, Harry Maguire, play some football for England together? That would be quite interesting, wouldn't it? Seeing now, I know that the Southgate likes Maguire on the left side. That's something he's done there. He likes to either play him in a three or play him in the centre, but it's the left-sided version of Harry Maguire that we know Erik ten Hag's not really down with. But I think when you look at Branthwaite, I think he could be England's left-sided centre-back for a decade or more. Like he's got, comparing him, do you know who he really reminds me of in some of the things he does is Tony Adams, right? In the sense that he's physical, but he actually reads parts of the game really, really well. Like he doesn't lack economy with the ball on the deck. And as Adams got older, Adams got better at that, really did. Like he'd be able to put the ball on the deck and have a level of control. Let's be honest, Branthwaite's playing for Everton, yeah? Everton may be the 12th, 13th, 14th best team in the league, but he's playing a much bigger station than that. He really is every week. So you have to decide, could he do it at Man United? I like what I see from him. I really do. Would you start him ahead of Martinez? I don't know. But will Martinez be fit enough in the years ahead? You know, is Martinez at 5'9" going to be the guy that you go forward with? Say if Erik ten Hag leaves. I don't know. I think another manager might want someone who is physically more imposing and can maybe run with a Haaland and be up there and challenge in the air and those kind of things, because some managers are down with that. They want those kind of things. So be interested, Scott. What do you think? I've done a lot of speaking. What do you think about Jared Branthwaite?
Sorry, everyone. I had a largely unanticipated ringing of my doorbell. I hope it didn't come through on the recording, but I luckily dealt with it.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com.
Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Quite quickly. Anyway, I did hear most of what you said there. And just a bit of a flag for me is the 75 million thing. I think that will rely on Everton's status as a Premier League club. We obviously know their financial issues, that they have lots of them. They've been deducted points if they get relegated. I don't think they will, by the way, but if they get relegated, then I feel like that could be, you could see 20-30% knocked off that price potentially, because Everton will have to find ways to recuperate that money. I like him. I don't love him at 75. It reeks a little bit of Harry Maguire to me, in the sense of, you know, this is an English centre back, overinflated price. I feel like I'd be more happy, and I feel like United should be shopping in the market of around 50 million quid. For young players, and I feel like there are probably other defenders out there that you can get for cheaper. I know that we want to do the England thing or the UK based players. There's been a lot of noise about that from the criticism of Ineos and criticism of United over the past few years of just buying English. But people don't consider that most people. Look at this England squad and think, God, they're one of the best teams in the world on paper. So maybe this is a market you should be shopping in. So like, the price concerns me. Also the difficulty of spending that much money and knowing that, like you say, Rob, on Martinez, you know, he's been injured this season, but when he wasn't injured, he was really good. And I really liked him. Can you dovetail two left-footed centre-backs of high expense and high cost? Surely they've got to play together. I wouldn't like to see two left-footed centre-backs together. I don't know why. I don't know why that's a thing, but maybe that's just me. But as you were talking about Martinez there and talking about Ten Hag and what happens, remember when Martinez signed and I said I'd like to see him at DM? I mean, is that a potential route around?
It's what my brain is doing exactly now as I'm listening to you. It's exactly what I'm thinking. Because I think the thing is, we're talking in an Erik ten Hag universe, aren't we? That's what we're talking about. And we are assuming a lot of things going into next summer, going, oh, does this player fit X, Y, or Z? Well, of course, like, we know Erik ten Hag bought Lisandro Martinez. Erik ten Hag wants to play him on the left side of a kind of back four there in two centre-backs. But what if you get a coach that wants to play back three? What if you get a coach that actually wants to play with wing-backs? What do we do if a coach actually wants to go a proper kind of 4-3-3 progressiveness? What if you want someone in defensive midfield who has those kind of centre-back sensibilities like Martinez? I think you could play Martinez at left-back and also in defensive midfield, and he would be pretty good in those positions. And then guess what? You can go buy Jarrod Branthwaite, can't you? So sometimes we get over-obsessed, I think, with partnerships. Like, is this player fit that player? And we know that football does operate like that. Partnerships is a big thing in football with squad building. But I think when you talked about Jarrod Branthwaite and kind of it reeking of Harry Maguire, maybe I think in terms of the club status with Leicester, that is true. Though when we signed Harry Maguire, Leicester were better than they became. Leicester were Premier League champions not so long ago. Everton are not that. I do also think Everton are going to be forced to sell him whichever way you go. I also think that if Man United decide not to buy him, we do know that he's being scouted extensively by Real Madrid and Man City. So I think he ends up somewhere. And I think he might be one of those players where he ends up at Real Madrid next year and is brilliant. And we all go, oh, we missed a trick there because he's English and we didn't want to feel that. We didn't want to feel those things. We wanted to kind of look back and talk about the mistakes from before. I think Branthwaite's got the ability to be world-class. I don't like using that term a lot with players. I try and use it as minimal as possible, but he's got the package to do it. And I also think that shouldn't affect Lisandro Martinez. I think he could be your six. That would be perfect in my universe, not in Erik ten Hag's. But maybe Graham Potter or someone like that would come in and say, we'd use him elsewhere. And I think he would. I think he is actually a player that should play multiple positions, not just have to be the left-sided centre-back. I think he could do other jobs for you because he's a rounded talent, isn't he, Scott? You know, he's technically better than what you've got in the six at the moment. Like, I'd have him ahead of Casemiro, wouldn't you?
Not seen enough of him there, but yeah, like, I mean, yes, I've said from the very beginning, I wanted to see him there. Ten Hag pretty much shut it down, didn't he? And then they did sign Casemiro, and that was it. He doesn't like it at all. What I have said this though, and my position hasn't changed on this at all. I think United need two centre backs. I think they need one for each role, one for each foot. Because you've seen this season, I think it wouldn't surprise me if Maguire stayed. No. But I think one of him and Lindelof will go.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Lindelof is more likely. A, because of Maguire's wages. B, because David Moyes is probably going to leave West Ham. And C, because, you know, I think Lindelof is going to be easier to shift. You could see him going to Italy and playing in a back three, couldn't you? Like Inter or something like that. You know, you could see that happening. So maybe United could recoup some money there. Lindelof has been... He's playing, but he's never been top tier or anywhere near it, even from that day at Huddersfield where he had a bit of a difficulty, and he's never been amazing.
With Everton, Pike exchange?
Potentially, you know.
He's got Everton written all
whether
over
he
him.
Go for, whether he really go for has. That remains to be seen. But I do feel like this is a position, really, that United need to renovate. I think Rafa Varane's going to go.
Yes.
I've seen people saying, why don't you renew Varane's contract? Like he's only missed five games or something like that. Look at the most important thing is the money. United have put a new deal on the table for him at reduced terms. And they have to start doing that. They can't just trigger extensions on contracts that are overinflated. You know, it's not the right way to do it. So if Varane has to leave because he's earning too much money, but you need to correct your wage structure, that's probably the right way. But then you'd need to probably sign another centre-back. Mm. So for me, I would look to sign two in the summer. I like, and just to circle back to Branthwaite, I like him. I would like them to get him for cheaper than 75. So I would like to see whichever new team comes in to negotiate deals. Look at Everton's financial position. Surely, if you got any wits about you, you can strike a deal for around 60, I would say.
Maybe. Like, I think sometimes with these things, like we've both said, haven't we, that we'd like to see United like restrict their shopping budgets with some of these players. And I'm still with you on that. I'm not quite sure with this player, especially with what the hype and the way he is playing and his upside and potential, that's possible. You just said there as well about, you know, buying two players, two centre-backs, and I agree with that again. But the thing I disagree with is that I don't think you need two centre-backs that have opposite foots. I don't believe that. It wasn't a thing before Dutch coaches made it a thing. Like Dutch coaches are obsessed with that, and we've had it with Louis van Gaal forcing Daley Blind to come as a midfielder and then say, no, you're playing left centre-back, and that's what he did, and he actually kind of did quite well, obviously, back when he went back to Ajax. I think when you look at how United are, whoever the coach is in the summer, and I keep saying that caveat, is that that might be the giveaway, is that you don't necessarily need a left-footed centre-back and a right-footed centre-back, even though that is still ideal, because I still think players have been playing with one foot forever, Scott. They really have. And when you look at Man City, they don't actually construct themselves like that. They don't go, oh, well, this player's left-footed, so he's got to stay there. And Ten Hag's a bit more like that. He's a bit more rigid, isn't he? Like, I want this player to have this profile, and that's fine. But I don't think a new coach will come in and say, right, I'm not going after that player because he's more left-footed than right. I just think it's a bit regressive. I think it's a bit rigid. Do you know
what
I mean?
It depends on who the manager is. Like some managers feel it's really important, some don't.
Totally. And I think, you know, you could, if you're looking at the left-sided question, you know, if Lissandro Martinez was a central player, you know, like I'm talking about defensive midfielder, then you negate that straight away, don't you? It's like it doesn't, no one cares if he's left footed or right footed. So it's kind of weird thing that 20 yards in front, that it doesn't really matter, but back there it does. So I think if you've got Ten Hag, I think Ten Hag won't be making Jarrod Branthwaite his number one kind of pick. He will be looking for someone to play on the right side. And I do think that you're going to lose Varane, and I think rightfully so. I think the time's come to an end. We're hearing little whispers that Varane might be injured for the Liverpool game, so we'll wait for that to be announced or not. But I think when you look across the board, I think United have to have that kind of reconstructive surgery of the defence across everywhere. And we've seen it this year. United conceding more chances than any team in the league, pretty much 17th. It's not good enough. I know the risk and reward is still there with Ten Hag, and that will remain next year. But if he goes, you have to look at it differently. You just got to. And I think Jarrod Branthwaite, you're saying there's 75 million. I think Real Madrid will stump that up and no one will blink. I think they'll take him. It's like, look at Bellingham, the price that Bellingham went for now. What, 105 was it in the end? 105? Something like that. Yeah, that's a bargain. 105 is a bargain for a player like that, generational player. Now, I'm not saying that Branthwaite's going to be a generational player, but we might get to the summer and we might all be really high on the boy. We might be going, right, England starter. Everton survived because Branthwaite did this and yeah, okay. It's the next step, isn't it? I like him and he's definitely now on my watch list. Whereas I think last summer I was a little bit underwhelmed. Did well at PSV, but come on. We know Ruud van Nistelrooy thinks he's brilliant. Ruud van Nistelrooy thinks he's an absolutely fantastic centre-back. So maybe we should all be having a chat with Ruud.
Let us know in the comments what you think of Jarrod Branthwaite. For me, yeah, as I say, just
wait and see.
Wait, well, I like him. I would like him to join. I think he'd be a good player to sign in the sense of like he could be there for 10, 15 years.
Yeah,
playing to a good level. But I just feel like club sets asking price versus it's the behavior change I want to see. I want to see United not dither and offer 40 million at the start of the summer, then come back a month later, 50 million. Then end up paying on August 29th the asking price that they set in the first place. This is just that maybe it's a bit of stress from past experiences where it happened with Maguire, you know, and that's why I made the comparison, because United went in a lot lower. Leicester stayed at 80 and United eventually just went, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's the behavior change.
Of course, yeah, I agree with you. And it's also worth remembering, like with Harry Maguire using that as a yardstick, is that Man City were very keen on Harry Maguire and had a ceiling in terms of what they thought for him. And when they didn't get him, they moved on and went and got someone else. So like, if that ends up being the case with Branthwaite, you're just going to have to live with that and do that, aren't you? What we don't want to see is United then going up to like 100 million, because let's be honest, centre-backs do come at a premium, especially left-sided ones. So you might end up be paying more. But I also think that you shouldn't restrict yourself. Like, I think if you look at your project and you go, that guy, as you said, is a 10-year signing and he's going to get so much better and he's going to probably, he might be worth 150 million in 3 or 4 years' time, you know, that kind of ballpark. Then I also don't think you should be scared to pull triggers on players that you want to build on, young ones. Remember, Harry Maguire came, Scott, as like the finished article, really, in many ways. He's your future captain. He's an England guy and all of that. Branthwaite's not that. Branthwaite is someone who could potentially become the best centre-back in the league. I believe he could become that. And that's why I also think Manchester City are sniffing around and thinking, well, this could be a guy that we build around in future, because he can also do the John Stones stuff. Like, you could see him playing out of that position and playing even maybe as a defensive midfielder, playing on the left side a little bit more, being more progressive with a coach that does all those things. So there's a lot to talk about with Branthwaite, and I don't think this is the last time we're going to be mentioning him. I think he's going to be a hot topic in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, if he gets a debut for England and does well, you know, we will, I'm sure we will be talking about him a lot more.
And Everton need to sell anyway. Everton definitely need to sell. Even if they survive and all of this, Everton are in such financial dire straits that they have got one big asset, and his name isn't Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You know, that asset is Branthwaite now. And they can make a hot killing on him like they did with Wayne Rooney all those years ago.
There's Onana from the midfield as well that United have been credited with interest in. Rob, I'm not so hot on him.
I actually suggested him last summer. I said, I like him, and I think as a six, you could do X, Y, and Z. And I think, again, in our conversations, we were a bit like, yes, no. Watched a lot of him again this year when he's actually played. And I don't think he makes this project better tomorrow. I don't think he's your midfielder. He's got a lot of, you know, there's a lot to his game, and I think he's a better player than maybe some give him credit. But I've heard a lot recently, Scott, like, about he's the answer. He's the guy. And it's like, is he? He might be a guy, but he's not the guy. You know, he's good, but maybe not that good. Not the moment.
Do you know what I'd like United to start doing is, and I've said this before again, if you like Onana, go buy him from, I think he was at Lille, wasn't he? Buy him from Lille, not from Everton.
Yeah.
You know? There are these players, like Brighton picked up Carlos Baleba in the summer. Mm. There's a lot of hype around him. Brighton haven't had a great season in relativity to, you know, last year and that kind of thing. But
yeah,
eventually, this kid's going to be really good. You know, so ideally, you want to buy players for a little bit cheaper, be stable enough to be able to phase them in slowly instead of having to watch them in the Premier League for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And then go, oh, good, we'll have to pay a premium for him now. Go buy him from Portugal. Go buy him from the French League, from clubs that need the money. Just go and do it that way.
Or buy him and loan them. Like, this is the thing.
Exactly,
like,
yeah. Exactly.
Buy them, say they're yours, and then loan them. It's exactly what Arsenal did with Saliba, yeah? So, like, you can do that. And that model, I think, is absolutely more sensible than something Man United should do. Problem is, Scott, this is not a swipe at our fan base, Man United fans. Is it United fans not really down with that? They're like, oh, like if you buy a player, it's to go and make you better. And we get desperate like that, don't we? Whereas I think if you look at it, we kind of did it with a few of our younger players recently. But it wouldn't have hurt me if, like, you know, Garnacho came to the club originally and that we'd loaned him out initially to go and get him minutes if he didn't fit what we wanted at that time. But you've got to look at young players like that. They need minutes of football, but still go buy them before they get to Brighton. I'm with you. Like, you know, they don't have to go to Brighton, have a stellar season and go from being worth 10 million that 60 million in the blink of an eye, and by the time they're actually sold, it's more. So it's kind of
well,
like,
Moises Caicedo is the example, isn't it? We talked
perfect
about
example, and that's someone who was literally banging on Man United's door. That offer was there, they could have had him for £4 million. It was done, like it literally was done. We'd spoken to agents and all sorts at that time and did shows, and it was like he could go to Man United tomorrow. It's kind of it just needs to be pulled. And United went, nah, we're not paying £4 million for this kid. Idiots. So, like, you know, that's just how it goes. So, like, I think that's the lesson for Ineos here. Like, we didn't speak here about Todibo, and there's obviously a lot at the moment about, oh, Nice won't sell cheap to United because Ineos can't do that and blah blah blah. You got to remember, Ineos are bothered about Man United at the moment. That's what they're bothered about. So, the Ineos want Todibo, they go get him. They might not be able to get him cheap, but you've got to look at these levels of talent and you've got to kind of understand what you're paying for, whether long-term or short-term. But yeah, I'm with you. Go shop at a cheaper level and develop. Do that and let players go play on loan. And then like Saliba, they just jump out of nowhere. You remember when Saliba got back in the Arsenal team and there was loads of Arsenal fans telling me that it wasn't good enough. Oh, no, he's not good enough. And within 10 minutes, everyone was going, actually, look at that. He's developed loads. And now he might be leading them to a championship.
We'll see. Do you have a preference on who wins the league out of the three?
I do. Go on. I do have a preference. Come on, you Gunners! Come on! Like I don't want Liverpool to ever win anything. How? What's that? Don't clip that up. Don't. Oh, that would be. Can you imagine the noise of social media of that? That would be horrible. And we know Harry, our producer here, is a big Arsenal fan, so he would, I'm surely, love that little clip. But I want Arsenal to win it overall because I don't want Liverpool to win anything. I certainly don't want Klopp to win anything in his final year. Like, he's got a League Cup. Now, off you go. Off on your permanent holiday to become Bayern Munich manager. Well done, you. But don't want him to win the Premier League. And I mean, don't want City to win it again, really, even though City are maybe the lesser of two evils there. I don't think Man City are our rivals, you see. So they're just a team from around the experts of the city, like Stockport and Oldham. You know, just that kind of club to me. Sorry, City fans, don't get upset. Don't tweet me. But yeah, I think Arsenal for me. And I also think Arsenal play a better style of football like in that. And I think Arsenal style of football maybe warrants winning a title, though it will be absolutely horrible listening to their fans talk for the next 5 years about it. And that will be horrible. But that's where we are as Man United. We're not good enough to be in that conversation.
Yeah, people taking over have got to put them back in that conversation. They're a mile off it at the moment. But yeah, let us know what you think of Jarrod Branthwaite. We will move on in a second to talk about...
Or alternatives.
alternatives even.
Tell us what you think. Who would you really want at Man United? Because the stock's not big as it's got. Like, I can't sit here and think real of 30 centre-backs that are alternatives. It's just that you need to go shopping in different markets.
Well, you can look at, I'll name a few. Diomande from Sporting, Inacio from Sporting, Antonio Silva from Benfica, Tapsoba from Leverkusen. You know, all of these kind of profiles of young, in their early 20s, playing at a good level, but need a step up.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a few on there, but, you know, United have one of the biggest scouting teams
in the universe.
In the universe. So they should, they should be using the reports properly and making the right decisions off the back of that. But we just talked about the top three in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Jurgen Klopp winning the League Cup. Mm-hmm. He could win the FA Cup as well. But Manchester United stand in the way of Liverpool winning the FA Cup at the moment. Will Liverpool go to Old Trafford and smash United 5-0 like it happened before? Or will United turn up miraculously after losing 4-0 at Brentford and then Erik ten Hag takes the team on a 13-kilometer run or something, and then they magically turn up and beat Liverpool with a very committed performance? This is the FA Cup. This is the first of two meetings at Old Trafford between United and Liverpool over the next few weeks, either side of the international break. How confident are you feeling?
Oh, it's not even a
thing. Do you think United will turn up?
I think United will turn up. I think United will turn up, and I think United will get knocked out. So, and the thing is that, it's again, it's not really about being defeatist or negative or anything like that. My concern is what Liverpool are doing. So you saw here in the Champions League the other night, or not Champions League, sorry, in Europe, Salah turns up and within 12 minutes has a goal and two assists. And you're like, ew, I don't like the look of that. And I think the thing is with Liverpool, Scott, and this is giving them credit, is that while they've had injuries as well, and they've had things to deal with over the season, maybe not as much as United, but they have had things to deal with, is that there has been a real consistency about their wider ethics of their play. They've held it together, and that's why they are where they are in the league, and that's why they're having this kind of season, which I don't think anyone could have predicted. In the summer, everyone thought they'd do better, but maybe not right at the very apex of the Premier League. So it's going to be a tough game for United, simply because, Scott, I think you're going to have to go and do things that in the last few weeks you've actually done better. Like, I think the City performance was better. But if you go out there wanting to have a punch up with Liverpool, yeah, you're going to lose, because they're going to punch you in the face repeatedly and you're just going to stand there blood splattered all over you. You know, you haven't got a chance in that way. But if you go there, Scott, and you come to Old Trafford, your own stadium, and you play with some vigour and you run more than the opponent. Did you see what Jurgen Klopp said in his presser about running the other day? Did you hear about that?
I actually didn't.
Right, I'm going to explain it to you very quickly, because you just talked there about Erik ten Hag doing the running with the team last season. He spoke about metrics and he was like, he said, if a team runs and each player runs on average 10 kilometers per game, he said, I demand that my team, as an aspect, all outfield players run an extra 100 kilometers per game. And he said, why do I do that? He went, because that means each one of my players has run an extra kilometer. And he said, and the difference between playing badly and playing well is 1 kilometer. And we listened to that and I was like, that's what United need so much. That's exactly, I'm sure Erik ten Hag is telling the players that. But that is what we don't see United, is them putting in that extra kilometre. Because if you get the extra kilometre, you generally win games. That's what he's saying about the metrics. So guess what? When they come to Old Trafford, Scott, they're going to be running that extra kilometre. They are. And we've got to do it. We've got to match them. So I think we can. And I think they're more motivated in those situations. But that's a big problem for United, switching on and off in games. Like, someone needs to tell Marcus, you know, you need to run the extra kilometre every game, no matter what, because other players do it, but you need that 100 kilometres from the whole team. It was interesting to hear Jurgen Klopp talk about that just before this kind of game, because I think it is going to be a kind of war between the two teams. I think a typical FA Cup game where it could be just hell and leather. Wouldn't be surprised if Casemiro gets sent off after 12 minutes or something. But United have got to bring it, haven't they? They've got to bring the energy, because you're not going to get past Liverpool just by I think, a stroke of luck. You're going to have to play well, and you're going to have to put it on the line.
We're ahead of, we haven't heard Erik ten Hag speak yet. We're recording before that. Mm-hmm. But the There have been returns to training this week. Yes. Mason Mount, he won't be ready for this one, but he should be back after the international break. Lisandro Martinez could be back after the international break. He's going on international duty with Argentina, even though he's not going to play.
Not happy about that. Not happy about that.
I know it's good for morale and stuff, but really,
Rasmus Højlund is saying going on international duty and he's had a problem. Like, I don't know. I don't like it. Sorry.
But Højlund should be back. Mm-hmm. So you'd think Højlund will play probably from the start.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be surprised if he didn't, to be honest. But you know, you revert them back to your Rashford left and Garnacho right, which was working before. I know we talked about it the other day. Will he do that or not? But I think he will. You got Casemiro, Cobby, and Bruno in midfield. The interesting one, Rob, is Wan-Bissaka, and you look at Lindelof at left back. Do you think he risks that straight off? Maybe switches Dalot across to the other side and brings Wan-Bissaka in. I know you don't rate Dalot too highly, but would you say he's more of a better positioned left back than Lindelof is? Or do you think Lindelof being a centre-back against Mo Salah, trying to stop him coming in on that left foot? Yeah, it's a silly question, but you know, what would you do?
What I would do, and I think what Erik ten Hag would do, is two separate things. So I don't think Erik ten Hag will change those things. I think dynamically, he likes to kind of work within the position, and I think he's been putting Lindelof there because that's what he wants to do. He sees Lindelof as a left-sided player that can go narrow and kind of squeeze the pitch. Okay, yeah, he can do that. The problem is the skill set and what he can do. So if Wan-Bissaka is fit and ready, I would bring Wan-Bissaka back in. There is even a case there to play Wan-Bissaka left side because he did play it for a short time and he played it well. He played two or three games there and we were all like, oh, again.
I didn't even think of that. I think that might be the best bet.
Another thing, because what do? You just tell him, go man-mark Salah. Just go man-mark him and kick him in the stands, go through him. Put everything on the line, show Salah he's not getting an easy ride. Because I think if Salah goes up against Lindelof, oh my God, it's just a free ride, a free dinner, and he will dine out on it and he will absolutely kill United from that side. So I would think United in years gone by have handled Salah really well, and they've done that by actually not always giving him the most attention. You just kind of make sure that channel is plugged up. We don't know where Maguire is in terms of his fitness. Because I think, again, the back four, Scott, it's supposed to be a fluid thing, isn't it? I know everyone is really high on Dalot, but he's still Dalot to me. He's still going to make a mistake somewhere down the line, but he's playing much better. But I think you've got that option there of bringing in Wan-Bissaka just to go and do a job on that left-hand side. I think he's a better option than what you've got. Like, did you see on the bench, did you see Brandon Williams sat there recently? Yeah, have you seen him on the bench? He's kind of been around there. I know you're smiling. Now, I'm not saying he's your option, but I still do think with fullbacks, it's a specialist role, and it's difficult for someone like Lindelof to suddenly be good at the fullback function, even though we're seeing that more across the league. Man City playing with like four centre backs across the back sometimes, but they're all technically talented and really physically dominant. So there is that. So I think United would love to do that and are trying to eke that out a little bit. But I think Wan-Bissaka, it's almost perfect for him. You know, come back, just stand on Salah for 70 minutes, go and, you know, if that's all you got in the tank, then just defend that line, defend that channel, don't let Salah run. And then maybe Salah runs out of juice because Salah is only just
coming back from injury himself. He played
exactly.
Well,
so I think it's a limited choice there. But I also think with Liverpool's weapons, with the likes of Nunes, and you actually look, I think, how their midfield's performing as well. They all look just more dangerous and more kind of set up to go and win football matches. It won't be just Salah that wins and loses the football game.
I knew Liverpool won last night. I'm just looking at Salah played 90 minutes.
They didn't just win. They absolutely like
11-2 on aggregate.
The game was over in 9 minutes. Like, it was mad because they literally came out and just blew the opponent away. And that is what you do. You know, if you're so much better than an opponent, you don't play down to the opponent. You smash them, you put them in the bin, and you tell them that it's just going to be another 80 minutes there. So Salah probably was able to jog through that game and get some minutes under him because there's no pressure after that. So United will be different, but we've seen what Liverpool can do at Old Trafford. I've been there. I've watched those games. It's not the most nicest thing to watch. But United are going to have to pull it out of the bag. You're going to have to earn it, Scott. And we will talk more about Mason Mount in weeks to come because I do want to speak about him because I put out a team sheet the other day and said what United could do. And everyone was like, oh, no, you can't play Mount and Bruno as the eights. And I agree with that. I agree. I understand what people are saying. But that's what Erik ten Hag going to do. He's going to play them as eights because that's what he bought Mount to do. Like, that's why he bought him. So, like, you're going to see it whether you like it or not, or whether it works or not. It's just going to happen at the, you know, in the next few weeks. And maybe it will work. Maybe Mason Mount is the missing piece there in the middle of that midfield, and Kobbie Mainoo ends up as the six. And that means you get Casemiro at the team because Casemiro does hurt you at the moment. So there's options.
Yeah, I feel like they're coming back. But United have... We'll finish the pod in a minute, but one question before we do. How big is beating Liverpool for Erik ten Hag and his future?
Yeah, it's massive. It's massive. And do you know what? Again, I was thinking...
Well, exactly, if he loses... Like, sorry, Rob, I cut you off. But
no, it's cool.
If he loses, that could be curtains, do you think?
Again, a lot of this depends on how it feels. Like, it shouldn't always be like that. And I always think results are results are results, yeah? Like, if you win the game 1-0, no one cares, right? The United fans are just happy. If you play terrible, but you win 1-0, great. We're through to the next round. That's what the FA Cup's all about. That's what cup competitions are all about. But if you go into this game, and let's say, like, again, hypothetically, Scott, you come out of it, you lose. You see, knocked out, whatever way, whether it's 1-0 or 5-0. But the takeaway from the game is that Man United were not prepared for Liverpool. This is my worry, is because I've seen that a lot this year, where I've watched United, even with, you know, with injuries and rotation, is that I've come away feeling, were we fully prepared for what we were supposed to go and take on that job? That's why I've just did a 5-minute segment on Jurgen Klopp talking about running an extra kilometer. You know, these boys have got to be prepared to run for their manager. They've got to be. And if they don't, then it's a different question, isn't it? So, yeah, I think if you get hammered against Liverpool, it might be one of the nails in the coffin. Like, is it going to be one of those scenarios where, like, I agree with what you said last week on the show. I don't think he gets sacked at this moment. I don't think that's what any of us want to do. We might be having our sporting director expedited into the club very, very quickly in the next week or two. I think that might happen. But I think when you look at Ten Hag, these two Liverpool games, there is a risk that if you lose one terribly and it's horrible and it's like 5-0 and it's a drubbing and the team plays terribly and, you know, people don't run and all of these things, that gone quick before the next Liverpool game, because there is a little, there's a tiny gap there. So I don't want that to be the case, and I hope that isn't the case. But they've got to go out and prove it now, Scott. What is it, 15 games for the rest of the season? Just go out there and play blood and thunder every week. Do everything you can to win for Man United. And if you do that, then we'll take whatever we take, whatever happens, it happens. What do you think, Scott?
I'm kind of with you. I think they'll turn up, and I think you'll see a committed performance. But I don't think they'll go through.
Yeah, tough challenge.
Although if they do, if they bring that committed performance and somehow manage to win, whether that be an extra time,
yeah,
or God, penalties, I don't know. Like, there's no replays, so I don't think, is there? So yeah. You know, I think United will have to show a committed level of performance. The running is so important, like you just talked about there. They have to do that as a bare minimum, and that should be the same case every single week.
One can,
and when they don't do that, you know, against a team like Liverpool, they'll tear you to shreds. If that space in midfield is there, they'll tear you to shreds. So, but that comes down to running.
It's the story of the football club for so long, and the story of the last year and 2 years for Erik ten Hag is that he still hasn't been able to get them to run that extra kilometer for whatever reason. It happens sometimes. And I think when United do work well, Scott, we're actually a half decent football team. Like, you see it when United are actually challenging in the press and doing those things. But then we also see in the same football match that they'll do it for half an hour, and then they'll be like, oh, half time quite soon. I'll have a little rest now. Just stand
here. Luton. Like, that was a perfect example.
Luton, exactly. Again. And I am actually less worried. I've said this and people like pulled me up on it. I was less worried about playing Man City than I was playing Fulham and Everton, either side. It's because I know against Fulham and Everton, they'll just go, well, this is Fulham and Everton. We'll run the game. And then you're in trouble in parts. Now, Everton, you win the game, but you didn't create anything. You just got two penalties. So well done there, lads. But overall, I actually think with Liverpool coming, they know it's on the line, and it's their reputations as well. So hopefully they'll feel that, Scott, and that they'll bring a performance, not just for their manager, but for themselves. Have some self-pride, people. You know what I mean? You play for our football club, you wear that badge, Yeah, have some pride. Don't worry about your wages. You're still going to get paid one way or the other. Go out there and like be proper serious footballers and go and challenge Liverpool. Because I'm telling you, Liverpool are coming to beat you. They want to beat you and they want to absolutely bury you. They'd love to beat you and see your manager sacked the following morning. And if we are losing 5-0, Scott, in that game, you're getting sacked in the morning is going to be sung from the away end very, very loudly by their Scousers.
Right, Sunday afternoon, United versus Liverpool. We will be back soon after it.
Yeah.
For another Promised Land podcast. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Fingers crossed. Watch us on YouTube. Listen on Apple and Spotify. The Promised Land and Man United podcast. Like the video. Subscribe to the channels. Hit a 5-star review. Leave a nice comment. And leave a comment on the YouTube stream as well. Let us know what you think about Jarrod Branthwaite predictions for United versus Liverpool. Get your comments in as well. Maybe at some point we can do a comment show if you'd like us to answer any specific questions from you guys. Please get them in as well and hit the notification bell so you never miss a show on all of those platforms as well. Follow us on social for more Rob takes at @_Rob_B. Although I will say I agree with both of them. So, you know, like, fair play to you. And I think social media is quite unreasonable, but just don't, if you're going to disagree with something either of us say, just don't swear at us and just do it in a nice way.
Oh, you know? it's like the one thing, like, you are social media, those things like, please don't be rude or please don't be offensive. It's like, what's the point? Like, I've even had United fans on me all the time being offensive and horrible. And, you know, a classic one, Scott, I don't understand. Like, we've got a bald manager, Man City got a bald manager, and yet the two fan bases like come after me and going, oh, you're bald. Like, am I? Yeah, well, I am. Yeah,
really?
I get it all the time. All the time. And I've had it for years and years and years and years. And it's just funny. Like, that's why when we got Erik ten Hag, I made that joke at the time. I was like, I only want Erik ten Hag at the football club because he's bald. That's the only reason why. So, you know, and there's been loads of bald is best and stuff from like alternative Man United and stuff like that. So that's all there, isn't it? But, you know, when it's a journalist talking about it, you're bald. That's why you've got such a terrible opinion about this. And you want Mason Mount playing the number 8. It's like, no, I actually don't want him playing the number 8, but that's what he's been bought for, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's all to do with being bald, isn't it? And if Erik ten Hag loses his job, well, it's because he's bald, isn't it? It's basic as that.
Interesting.
Interesting take, isn't it, Scott? I want you to shave your head, Scott, and we'll see. We'll do it.
I'm not bald yet.
Come
not bald yet. You can see my unbalded tweets at @_ScottSaunders on X, non-bald Instagram videos and TikToks on.
You've got enough hair for TikTok, man. So
I've got enough hair. Not it, you know. I think my receding has stopped in recent years, although like my hairline is pretty high up now.
Do you use any product on that, Scott? Just kind of thing. Are you like an Alpecin guy?
I do use Alpecin, actually. Do you? I do use Alpecin. Yeah, I can't say it works. I don't know.
Well, maybe it does because you're not bald. So, like, you know, maybe you didn't use Alpecin. Maybe you'd be like this. Do you know what I mean? And here, why do you think I wear hats? You know what
maybe,
I mean? So
maybe our social account for the show TPLMUFC does not use Alpecin. But you can follow that.
Unless Alpecin want to contact us and want us to talk about their products on here. But that's up to them, isn't it?
We finished this show in an interesting way. If you're still with us, guys, thanks for listening.
Yes.
Let us know what shampoo you use.
In the comments. Which right. shampoo do you think Man United will use after the Liverpool game, et cetera, et cetera? Are they head and that's shoulders it. Above Liverpool?
Ooh. Fantastic use. Fantastic play on words there. And that is a great place to leave it. Until after the Liverpool game, we'll be back. Hopefully, United can get through in the FA Cup. Hopefully, they can put a performance together, which we can be happy about. But we will wait and see because they've been few and far between for the duration of this season. But from Rob and from myself, Scott, this has been The Promised Land. Until next time, see you soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Have a great weekend.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.